This isn't the podcast I expected to be doing. 1 year ago, when Flash Diaries mysteriously disappeared, it divided us. This podcast will be perfect when it covers
The Crisis!
The Crisis Diaries, a new episode streaming each week. Happy holidays! We're back. There's not been an episode to talk about of anything, but we're still going to be here because people want to listen to a podcast. So we're back with Crisis Diaries. We told you we would analyze the symbols a little bit. And so have you taken a look at the symbols again, knowing who the seven paragons are?
Only on the episode itself, but I have not really analyzed it since.
Yeah, I've tried. Now, so we end up the third episode with Supergirl, Batwoman, The Flash, Ray Choi, Martian Manhunter, and Superman, who then turns out to be Lex.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so I'm looking at these symbols, and we'll forget Lex for a second.
Okay.
And the symbols don't really match anything either. The closest thing I could think of is, you know, the first one was sort of that tuning fork, which is sort of what the towers are in the original comics. And they did sort of mention something like that in the beginning, first episode of this.
Okay. Yeah.
The tower of those. And then the second one definitely looks like, with those three lines in his head, it reminds me of the monitor.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But everything else doesn't make any sense. And the one that we thought was Arrow is kind of weird because Arrow isn't one of the seven paragons.
Right. And, well, it turned out to be Superman. That was representing the paragon of truth. And if you turn it upside down, it does resemble Superman logo.
A little bit.
Well, it's the outer shape is the exact same shape.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it is kind of...
Well, hold on. The 1-2-3rd one could easily be the Flash's mask.
Okay.
Or, I said it in an earlier episode, that it could also be the Atom.
Yes.
Because we have a second Atom being the paragon of humanity.
Which makes me think that maybe Brandon isn't much for this universe.
Yeah, it does. Because you immediately wrote off his Superman character, and you're introducing a second Atom sometime in the near future. And I think I have heard rumors that Brandon is leaving the show, so that might be where we're going. I don't know.
No, it's also weird that I just found out.
Mm.
Brandon Roth is married to Courtney Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Courtney Ford plays,
the daughter of the evil one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I knew that. And
okay. See, I didn't know that. That's
every time they kind of set those two up, like a will they, won't they, I was like, oh, it's so cute. They're married.
That does. It adds a little metatextual thing to it. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, it's I'm pretty sure the Flash is going to be that third symbol.
Okay, yeah, I he might be. I don't know. I don't know if the symbols even mean anything at this point. I just they're kind of thrown out there, and then Lex kind of scribbles, like you said, scribbles out the last one and just writes his name. So I guess that counts. I don't know. It's
yeah. But yeah, the clearly the symbol was there for Superman. So that's the paragon of truth.
Okay.
I mean. So who do we have?
Supergirl, Batwoman.
Right, Supergirl, Batwoman. We have Adam 2.
Yes.
We have the Flash.
Correct.
Grant Gustin's Flash.
Then we have Martian Manhunter.
Oh, right, Martian Manhunter.
Superman.
Yes. To be honest, I don't know. I don't know who would link up with what symbol necessarily.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
So yeah, I think we were trying to draw something by this, but I don't think it actually ends up being worthwhile. So,
well, as we stand now, we don't know anything, but
yeah, exactly.
They'll make something. It's like, oh, guess what? This, you turn it on its side and it's this.
You flip this one in half and it becomes this.
Right.
And no.
Cool. Well, another thing that came out since we did the last episode, or I've gotten since we did the last episode, was the DC 100-page Crisis on Infinite Earths giant comic book. It's got the classic cover of the Crisis, I think. I don't know the number of it, but like Crisis 7 or 8 with Superman and Supergirl on the cover, and Supergirl's dead in his arms.
Yes.
This is the cover that I think they might try to re-emulate, but in reverse.
I feel they half-hearted did it with Brandon Routh's death.
Yeah, okay, I could see that.
Because it was Kara catching him as he was falling.
Oh, you think they've already done it and I just completely missed it?
Potentially, yeah. Because it wasn't an exact duplicate, because she doesn't pick him off his feet, but as he's falling, she's holding him from the back.
Okay, I'm gonna have to rewatch that scene.
Yeah,
because that was sort of something I came up with at like in episode 2, and I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool if they flip it on its head. So I'd be disappointed if that's what it was supposed to be. She needed to do it better. They should have done it better.
Well, so. I think they just didn't want Melissa trying to carry Brandon. It would have just looked awkward.
No, it would be awesome. She's a Supergirl. She should be able to do it.
Well, the character is. The actress is not. So
you just what hook you're gonna them up wind, to some wires.
Well, exactly. So it's going to be a clear example of wire foo, and he's kind of dangling there, and she's kind of mimicking holding him. I think they probably considered it, and then they just dropped it.
Oh, literally.
Yeah.
So this has four stories in it. Two of the stories are reprints. One is the first book of Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I think the second one is part of 7 or 8, I think, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of 7. I think 8 is going to be in the back of, this is a two-part issue. Series. So the second one will also have a reprint of, I think, episode issue 8, and then another issue, which I don't know about, which I've never actually read. So it was really cool because I was a little disappointed when I got this, because I'm also rereading Crisis and I'm like, okay, half this book I already have in my Crisis book. Like, but the reason we get it is because they have some stories that come from the actual CW crossover episodes. Mm. And it's interesting. Like most things we read. Now, when these shows first started, I think when The Flash first started, we actually were getting a little bit of like digital weekly series that was took place in those universes that introduced a lot of interesting characters, especially characters that were more magic-y or, you know, like didn't really fit like on a TV screen, but in the comic books, it felt fine. For both The Flash and Arrow, they were ongoing series for a little bit. I know Nick and I read the first couple and then just stopped because it was just too hard to keep up with. And it cost us money. You know what I mean? Like, sure. So we were like, eh. But this is the first time. I mean, not the first time, but this came out. So I had to check it out. I went to my local comic book store. And of course, they didn't have it because it's a Walmart exclusive right now.
Okay.
And I think comic book stores might be getting it in January. But so I had to go to Walmart.
During the Christmas season.
During the Christmas season.
Okay.
Luckily, it was right there with all the like Pokemon cards and everything near the front registers.
Okay.
And so I went right, like I was like, oh, it might be over here. I went over there, right there. It was easy.
That's cool.
It was also part, DC has a whole bunch of 100-page giants. That are at the comic book stores. And I guess this is packaged in with them in a bigger box that they just ship to Walmart. So it's a big crate box kind of thing. Almost like you'd see if you were getting like one of those big puzzle books or something off the shelves. But it was Walmart, so they didn't want to take them out. So it's already in a box that serves as its rack kind of that they put on the shelf.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like 4 or 5 different 100-page specials over and over and over again. Mm. And so you have to like search through it and go, oh, this is one. So I had one was near the front and I was like, nah, I'm going to get one from a little farther back.
Okay.
It does cost $4.99. So it's a little expensive.
Yeah. But it is a 100-page giant.
It's a 100-page giant, but 50 of the pages I literally have next to me right now in another book.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you haven't read Crisis before, it's a great opportunity to dig into that a little bit to get a sense of what's going on. So especially because
they literally mix Crisis the comic book with Crisis the TV show.
Yep.
And they try to make sense of it.
No.
Or they're just killing off the worlds that are from the comic book in this comic book.
No, none of that.
What are you talking about?
The Crisis reprints are just simply reprints of two of the issues of Crisis.
Oh, okay.
And they're in the back half of this book.
So it is an attempt to get you to transition from the TV show into the comic book.
Yeah, and okay. Or at least get a sense of what the original comic book was.
Okay.
So that way, and I do. I think I'll have to reread these specific chapters and see if anything comes of them in a sense that would help us with the next part of the crossover.
Right.
I know that one definitely starts with Alex Luthor, as well as some crazy jumping by Pariah, and that's kind of how the first story in this book also begins, is with Wells, Nash Wells, jumping as Pariah, and we get to see some places. So I'm just going to talk about that for a little bit. The okay. Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1 featuring Felicity Smoke is the title of the first book, and it's 24 pages long, so it's a good comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It's also written by Marv Wolfman and Mark Guggenheim.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's cool. It's nice to have the Wolfman back for writing Crisis, because he wrote the original Crisis.
Right, yeah.
So the first thing he jumps into is Earth N52, which I'm guessing stands for the New 52.
Okay, right.
And then they die. And he's just like, no! Then he jumps to Earth F, which I have no idea what that's supposed to be.
Is it Fawcett Comics?
No, because it's okay. Superman and Lois. The only people we really see are Superman and Lois Lane. Superman's like a little bigger, and he looks a little like older style cartoon kind of thing. Maybe mm-hmm. even like a old comic, animated series kind of look.
Oh.
I'm not great at it, but like
Fleischer.
Fleischer. Ooh,
Fleischer
maybe that's
Studios
what it was.
Did the original animated Superman that was released in theaters. And at the time, it was only 5 years. I think it was only within the first 5 years of the first appearance of him in the comic book.
Oh, wow.
So it predates a lot of things.
Yeah. So then that's what F is, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher. Superman, Lois Lane. Superman's about to leave with Lois Lane. Then they die. Then you see they die. Then we go to Earth X, which is interesting because we get to see the Ray, and then Harbinger saves the Ray, which
okay.
seems different than I thought we saw in the TV show, but that's
right.
besides the point. Because then she shows up with the Ray on the Wave Rider, where we see Barry, Sarah, Batwoman, Brandon Roth, Felicity, and Wally West.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they're all on the Wave Rider talking to the monitor. Ray's like, you killed my world. And the monitor's like, there's nothing you can do about it. Very similar to things he said about to other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then they introduce the concept of the anti-monitor a little bit. Oh, also Nyssa is there for some reason.
Who? And Nyssa is who?
Nyssa Al Ghul.
Okay.
Yeah, she was from Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that we meet, the first daughter of Ra's al Ghul that we meet. She's also the one who then trains Speedy a little bit in when we go back. She was with Speedy mm-hmm. this season.
Okay.
And then she also trains, I believe she goes on to train Ollie's daughter in the time that we don't ever see.
Okay.
So the Ollie's daughter from the future has been trained by Nyssa, I believe.
All right.
Okay. So they're there. Introduce the anti-monitor. They also introduce what is basically the anti-pariah, which they call Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I Googled that. As far as I can tell, there's nothing like that in the DC universe.
Okay.
Because it's spelled with a K. The Outcasts was like a weird little book that DC published about this like fake future world where big business runs everything and government officials are corrupt. And it was just this like 12-issue miniseries that was weird. I read the synopsis. It's strange, but it has nothing to do with this. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as we know, Pariah never has a doppelganger in the original Crisis series either. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting that they introduced this character.
Right, right.
So then basically what they're doing is they're going to track down Pariah and Outcast to try to get to a world, because they are going to worlds that are being destroyed. And so they want to jump to those worlds before they're destroyed and save some people.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, Felicity's angry that that Ollie's dead. Cause I guess at this point, Ollie's dead. Then they go to Earth 76.
Okay.
Do you know who they see there?
Is it Linda Carter, Wonder Woman?
Yes, it is.
Yay.
She dies.
No. I was surprised, since Linda Carter had done episodes of Supergirl, that they didn't use her in the TV show.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still surprised by the limitations that they did use things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to... The Earths are the interesting stuff.
Right.
They all get back. They jump to Earth D, which looks like it's sort of like Superman is fighting for the Russians, but not necessarily as an evil character. You see a Wonder Woman in a Green Lantern in a Supergirl. And then they go battle the shadow demons. And, then Outcast kills Wally West.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Then Barry gets super angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess Pariah, absorbs Outcast, and then, but then Outcast says he's a living bomb, a living antimatter bomb, and that's the end of that story.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's,
yeah.
So
they introduce a character and then they kill Wally West. So
right.
I also don't know how to place this in the story, because half of the people on the Wave Rider are people that we've seen on the Wave Rider and the other half aren't. I mm-hmm. almost wish Barry wasn't in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it doesn't seem like it's like Barry, Sarah and Adam could easily have not been in the story. And then it seems like maybe it's on the Wave Rider in between scenes that we saw on the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like it's after the stuff that we saw on the TV show, because the last episode of the TV show sort of ends with nothing out there except for the seven paragons.
Right. Yes.
And so
yeah, no,
I don't know when it's supposed to be.
It's like you're describing a completely different story to me. I don't know how to tie these two together.
Exactly.
I've heard rumored that Wally might be in the second half of this Crisis on television.
Well, that's interesting, because he definitely shouldn't be according to this comic book.
Well, according to this comic book, if they do introduce him, they're going to kill him off.
Or they'll rewrite history and it's another.
Yeah.
When Barry gets his Earth back, he's going to, just add Wally to it.
I wonder if this was written before they had the cast down for the production. They're like, we can get Linda Carter. We can get, Wally. And then they, didn't. And then they're like, well, let's do a different story.
I think they'd specifically, I don't know. To me, it specifically uses things that couldn't be in the TV show. Like, I think maybe they knew they didn't have Linda Carter. So they were like, well, let's get rid of Linda Carter's universe too.
Okay.
I don't know, to me.
Mm.
Then the second story is a quick little backup of Lexes. Apparently all the Lexes have a council of Lexes, sort of like the Council of Wells.
Right.
And they all decide that they need to save the universe because they want to rule over something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lex from that we know from Earth One sort of just like attacks, like gets rid of them, or like not get rid of them, but like leaves them and is like, I'm not part of you. I'm better than all of you other Lexes. And they're like, what? And then he goes to Superman. And then at the end of this, you see a whole bunch of Supermen show up.
Okay.
And then that's the end of that story.
Okay.
I don't want to, I realized I was reading the comic book on the podcast, so I probably shouldn't do that. but yeah, so it's an interesting comic book. I wish there was a little bit more bang for its buck in terms of the two reprints. But if you haven't read the reprints before, it might be a good thing to catch you up. If you've never read anything from Infinite Crisis, this is going to be a good stuff for you. The second one will also have, like I said, another reprint of an Infinite Crisis issue, but also an issue that is tangentially related. I need to get in more information on it. But that tangentially related issue, I don't think I've ever read. So at least three of the four stories will be good, new to me, which is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. Just catching you up on what's going on with the CW Crisis. There was a new trailer that I saw. It basically tells you nothing except for the fact that Ollie does exist.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, I know that, you know, we're talking about Ollie just transitioning into the role of Spectre.
Yeah.
Coming up. So
when he showed up, he was in a suit, but not his green suit, like an actual suit.
Okay.
But nothing else that makes him seem extra Spectre-y. And we see a shot of the Anti-Monitor's face, which looks weirdly green. It's a little strange. But yeah, so...
When we got introduced to the current Spectre, he doesn't look like the comic book Spectre either. He's not wearing a cloak or anything. I think he was wearing a suit, right?
Yeah. Or something. Yeah, I guess he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I think they're establishing... The Spectre just wears a regular old suit.
Wears a suit, yeah. even though he's an ex-cop, so that doesn't really make much sense.
I guess.
Like, if he was an ex-lawyer, then it would make sense. But
well, is he a private investigator, or he's a detective?
Oh, that'd be possible.
Yeah. So a detective doesn't need to wear a uniform.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, I will probably be back another... one more, if Alan can make it, to talk about stuff like what we want to see for the end of this the crossover, what we want, what we hope happens, what we fear might happen, and just to have some fun predictions with what is going to happen in this universe. We'll put that together and then maybe come out next week, probably.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us. I guess... That's the end of this.
Yeah, but don't worry, because we will be back
in a flash.